Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of the Virginia Athletics Podcast. I'm Jeff White from VirginiaSports.com, and my guest here at University Hall by popular demand is Kyle Guy, who's the second leading scorer on the nation's second-ranked men's basketball team. Kyle, thanks for making time for this. How are you doing?
Anytime. Good. How are you?
So there's a pretty big game coming up Saturday in Durham. Before we talk about that, I wanted to ask you about playing at John Paul Jones Arena. The team is unbeaten there this year, has had a tremendous record in recent years under Coach Bennett there. The game, tremendous atmosphere at the game against Clemson the other night. What's it like playing as a home player there? What's it like at JPJ?
Yeah, it's one of a kind. It's very surreal to play in a city that, you know, loves their college basketball so much and loves their university. So, you know, a lot of the credit goes to the fans because they're unbelievable. And we feed off of that energy. So, like I said, it's an unbelievable atmosphere. And, you know, we love lacing up in front of the fans.
What do you think? I don't know if you saw it on an official visit, if you took one during the season, but what do you think the first time you saw how loud it got as the shot clock was winding down for the other team?
Yeah, I came when we played Duke on College Game Day 2 or 3 years ago. And, you know, they get more hype for our fans get more hype for a shot clock violation than they do a dunk sometimes. So, you know, coming from Indiana, that's not really how it is. But, you know, I was drawn towards that.
You are a basketball junkie. I'm sure as a kid growing up, you saw a lot of Cameron Indoor Stadium on TV. Mm-hmm. Virginia, ranked number 2, plays Duke, which is number 4, Saturday afternoon. Excited about your first game at Cameron after having seen so much of it from afar?
Yes, very much so. I think I've said this before, but, like, it's a game that everyone circles at the beginning of the year. And, you know, I'm one of those people that circled it, and, you know, they're a good team, and we're a good team, and I'm just really looking forward to playing against some good competition in a unfriendly area.
I mean, knowing Coach Bennett, though, I would be willing to bet everything I have that he did not mention the Duke game until the Clemson game was over. He doesn't get too high after a win. He doesn't get too low after a loss. And I know you were off yesterday, so you go back to practice, but what do you think his approach will be for this game? Will it be just another game to get ready for?
He's definitely it's just another game type of guy. You know, it's 0-0 at half, all that kind of stuff. He still hasn't mentioned Duke even after the game yet. So, but he knows that this is going to be a game that everyone's going to be fired up to play in, and that, you know, there's a lot of attention towards it. So he gets that, and he's just going to make sure that we're calm, cool, and collected.
I mean, you like playing on the road, don't you? And you don't mind catching flack from opposing fans?
Yeah, no, I kind of, you know, relish off that, so I kind of like it.
So you committed to Virginia in October 2014, early in your junior year of high school. I still remember your unofficial visit. You came into the practice gym with about 30 people, it seemed like. You had a big crew with you. I also remember that the staff was delighted but a little surprised that you committed as quickly as you did. And I think they were hoping for one but not expecting it, and then you got back home and did it. What did you like about it, and how did that reaction go over back home, especially, you know, among fans of Indiana?
Yeah, I was definitely not expecting to commit when I did. I wanted to be one of those guys that sort of committed really late just to make sure I was making the right decision and whatnot. But when I got here, you know, everyone always talks about that feeling in your gut you get when you are going to choose the right school. And, you know, I had it as soon as I stepped in the office with Coach Bennett and the other and all the other coaching staff, and got along with the guys real well, and it was, you know, it was a no-brainer for me. I went home to sleep on it, and, you know, I told all my parents the next day. Definitely caught some flack from it, being from Indiana. You know, you hear it all the time. How did he get out of Indiana, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I'm just really happy to be where I am.
I had your classmate and teammate, Ty Jerome, on the show a couple weeks ago. You two clearly have a good chemistry on and off the court. Did you hit it off with Ty as soon as you met him?
Yeah, I definitely did.
Even though one's a New York guy, one's an Indiana guy.
Yeah, we played in, you know, NBA Top 100 camp before we got here, so we knew each other then. I stayed at his house a couple times because we were playing in different, like, all-star games and stuff. And, you know, AU trip. So I stayed with him, and, you know, we got to know each other pretty well. And, you know, he's tremendous at what he does. I don't know how he scores when he's so slow and athletic, but, you know, he finds a way.
I think it helps that he's got unlimited range and he can put that set shot up
absolutely
from right across half court. You were born and raised in Indianapolis, right?
Yep.
There is a NFL team in your hometown that's had a fair amount of success over the years. Why are you a Cincinnati Bengals fan?
My dad is from Cincinnati, so I sort of, as soon as I could talk, I knew how to say hootay. And, you know, I was a Bengals fan, had bleeding orange and black ever since I was two. So,
well, the equipment manager, JPJ, Matt Althoff, so you guys can commiserate with each other most Monday mornings.
Mostly we're sulking.
Yeah. What about the NBA? The Cincinnati Royals are long gone. Are you a Pacers fan?
Yes, I am a Pacers fan. Yeah, they're doing a lot better this year than I expected, actually.
To people who aren't familiar with Indiana, how would you describe the passion for basketball in your hometown?
Yeah, if you don't pick up a basketball by age three, it's kind of a sin. People look at you a little bit differently, you know, with an odd eye. It's unlike anything I've ever been a part of, you know. And like I said, the fans here are tremendous. But, like, back home, you know, we have nine of the top 10 biggest high school gyms in the world, I believe.
What did yours see?
Mine was, you know, one of the middle ones. It was about 3,000 probably, mm-hmm. but, you know, every other weekend I was playing at one that holds 9,000. There's one that holds 17,000 that I played in at Newcastle, and it was, I mean, unreal. So it's just, you know, just a little bit different down there.
What about the movie Hoosiers, which is beloved by a lot of basketball fans? Yeah. Do people in the state, you kind of cherish that movie as much as basketball fans outside the state do?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I think it's sort of, you know, dying the older it gets. My generation is probably the last one that, like, religiously watched it. Like, even, you know, guys on my basketball team in elementary school would have a birthday party, and it would literally be, we'd go watch Hoosiers, and then we'd go play basketball at the gym. That was their birthday party. So, I mean, we really cherish that movie a lot.
One of the things that's depicted in the movie is the single-class state tournament, which led to occasionally these David versus Goliath matchups. The last one of those was held in 1997. When you come through, do you kind of miss those when you hear about them and read about them?
I actually do. Part of it's because my sectional was so daggone hard I never got out of it. Mm-hmm. But the other part of it is just, you know, it's a lot to keep up with when there's so many classes. But if it was all one class, like, you'd be able to play all over the state, different teams. I mean, it'd be kind of tough if there's no shot clock because teams could just hold it the whole time. But in Indiana would probably be the last school to ever get a shot – or last state to get a shot clock. So,
as a senior at Lawrence Central High School, mm-hmm. you were a McDonald's All-American, which is obviously a tremendous honor. But you were also named Mr. Basketball in Indiana. The list of former winners of that award is absolutely amazing. I mean, you've got Oscar Robertson, Dick and Tom Van Arsdale, Cody Zeller, Tyler Zeller, Glenn Robinson, Steve Alford, Sean May, Eric Gordon, Gary Harris, Kyle Macy, Bryce Drew, many, many more. What did it mean to get that award?
Yeah, I think, you know, McDonald's All-American is one of the more nationally known things, and people think that is the, you know, the pinnacle of high school basketball, but there is nothing more, you know, empowering and, you know, breathtaking than winning Mr. Basketball for the state of Indiana. That was something that I, you know, grew up and wanted to do from the second I picked up a basketball and knew about it. So, you know, I dreamed about it, and for it to come true was just, you know, surreal.
I'm dating myself here, but I'm old enough to remember seeing Rick Mount, who also won the award, on the cover of Sports Illustrated. That's a couple generations removed from you. Did you ever hear Rick Mount comparisons as a shooter coming up in Indiana?
Yeah, I actually did. I still don't know what he looks like and don't know what his jump shot looked like, but I've gotten the comparison a few times, and I know he was a great player.
You had some colorful answers, as did Ty, in the press conference the other night after the Clemson game when you were asked about learning to play the pack line defense. You, Ty, if you don't mind kind of sharing that story about matching up with Mariel Shayok early on and what he did.
That was one of my better, me and Ty's better press conferences. Yeah. So, Mariel was a very good basketball player, and I was a scrawny 165, 6'2 white kid, just went to close out, and, you know, he made one jab step. I went complete opposite way and tried to jump with him, and he dunked on me pretty hard. That's actually the first time I've been dunked on, believe it or not. But, you just got to live with those kinds of things.
I think the conventional wisdom going into this year that, you know, Jack, Devin, and Isaiah were veterans. They knew the defense inside and out, that you and Ty were kind of the question marks of the starting group on defense just because of your lack of experience, if anything. But you've both done well. The team is doing well at that end. What's been the key for you in that defense?
Yeah, I think it's just really buying in and, you know, trusting your teammates, because Isaiah, Devin, and Jack make everyone else look good. Like, we still mess up more than people may see on TV, but that's because Zay's blocking it on the other end, or, he's helping the help. So they still make us look really good, and just buying into the thought of, you know, getting a stop and scoring and then getting a stop. And, you know, a lot of people try to outscore people, but we just, you know, if we can stop them more than they stop us, then we'll win.
You averaged nearly 19 minutes a game last season on a team that reached the second round of the NCAA tournament. You started 6 games. What was your freshman year like, kind of looking back on it from a basketball perspective?
Yeah, I've used the word surreal a couple of times already, and that's just sort of how my basketball career has been for me, just very surreal and, you know, almost esoteric, just because I can't really fathom it at this point in my life. But, you know, it was a great learning experience. Definitely going to leave the man bun in the past. I know it was a big talking point, but it was just really awesome to experience college basketball, you know, what you watch on TV and go to B-dubs and skip school to watch March Madness type thing. To be a part of that was, it was surreal, like I said.
In the postseason last year, you kind of started with a bang. You had 20 points against Pitt in your first ACC tournament game. Then your production dropped off against Notre Dame the next night, and then in the 2 NCAA tournament games. What did you learn from that experience? Because you've obviously come back a better player.
Yeah, no, I just, Coach Bennett taught me one thing that you mentioned earlier is, you know, you don't want to be too high, you don't want to be too low, no matter the outcome. And, you know, I just try to stay super optimistic, no matter if my shots are falling or, you know, I'm turning the ball over, getting beat on defense, whatever it is, I just try to, you know, positively reinforce myself. And I know that Coach Bennett and the coaching staff, my teammates, you know, they trust me and believe in me, so I don't really worry about how I'm doing. I'm just mad that we lost those games that I didn't perform well in.
It's easy for someone who shoots as well from the outside as you do to get labeled as one-dimensional. You've made nearly as many shots from inside the arc this season as you have from outside. Has that been a point of emphasis for you? And I know you've answered this question a few times, but no, to not just be a shooter, not just be a spot-up guy.
No, yeah, I love answering this question because I have been labeled a shooter for so long. And, you know, if one thing that gets under my skin, it's being labeled a shooter because, you know, I want to be able to help the team in multiple ways. I don't want to be, oh, all he does is shoot threes. And, you know, if I'm – like last year, sometimes I'd miss a couple threes, and that's really all I would do. And, you know, this year I just wanted, like you said, to make a point of emphasis to, you know, help the team in as many ways as possible.
When you got here as a first year, I think you were tweeting about 20 times an hour.
Yeah.
Maybe 20 times a minute. You've scaled back on social media a lot. Was that by choice or did you just kind of decide?
It was definitely by choice. I mean, you know, I'm sure Ty said something behind my back about it. But I know it was just becoming a distraction for me, and I wanted to focus a little bit more on basketball and other areas of life. And, you know, I use it to, you know, be positive and try to help make a difference now, and obviously be funny with my teammates. But that's about it.
Now. One of those teammates, DeAndre Hunter, he has a playful side to him that's not always apparent to the public and on the court. So it looked like you kind of like tweaking him a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
On Twitter.
he, uh, he's one of the funniest people on the team, and you know, you'll never guess that because he doesn't talk very much, but you know, you spend 2 years with the same guy, he's bound to open up. So he's a tremendous player. He's an awesome teammate. So yes, I love, you know, messing with him on Twitter because he actually gets a little mad.
Ty said the other day that it's been good to see him smiling again, and obviously he's been playing great of late.
Yeah. You know, we all saw this even last year, but especially this summer, the jump that he took in his game was, you know, unreal. And to see it come into fruition and him find a rhythm with this team that's already got great chemistry, it's really fun to see him play by.
I know you've been watching a lot of movies recently. Yeah. What's your kind of current top five?
Oh, man. So I've always been a movie guy. I mean, like, me and my stepdad's thing was we went to the movies and watched movies, and then me and my dad's thing was he let me watch rated R movies before I was even 10. So I've been a movie guy for a while. Top five. Man, I really like the movie Inception with Leonardo DiCaprio. Mm-hmm. The Dark Knight. You got to throw Hoosiers in there. I really like Interstellar. And you know what? I think I like Armageddon. I mean, it's a little cheesy, but it's one of my favorites. And then my dad would be mad if I didn't say Braveheart. So Braveheart is up there, too.
One of your friends from back home, Nash Griffin, is on the football team here. He was the backup punter this past season, and he was the holder on extra points and field goals. You live with him. What's it like to have a buddy like that here?
Yeah.
Kind of go through college together.
Yeah. Last year it was amazing to have a familiar face when I was going through the roller coaster of, you know, college basketball, playing 10 minutes one game, 30 the next, zero the next, whatever it was. It was great to have a familiar face when I'm 8 hours away from home, and he was too. So, you know, I mean, he's been my best friend, one of my best friends for, 13 years now. I mean, I met him in second grade, so, you know, it gets annoying living with him when you know him so long, but other than that, it's been great.
You and Nash are not the only Lawrence Central graduates in UVA athletics. Our esteemed rowing coach, Kevin Sauer, was there a few years before you. Have you met Kevin?
Yeah, I met him once, and he offered me a spot on the rowing team. I happily declined.
Yep. I know you support other teams and other athletes here. What do you most enjoy watching?
You know, my dad played football a couple years at UC, and he played in high school. And, you know, being a Bengals fan, I just grew up. I love football. I, you know, I knew football better than some of the guys on my high school team. So football is definitely my favorite, but easily second to soccer. I just, you know, ever since we went to Spain, I've just, you know, fallen in love with soccer. So those two sports.
Do you get out and see the men's and women's teams here?
Yeah, dang near every men's soccer team, and I see a lot of the women's too because I'm pretty good friends with them.
Your head coach, Tony Bennett, was a pretty fair shooter for his dad at Wisconsin Green Bay. He still holds the NCAA record for career three-point field goal accuracy at 49.7%. You're at 45.7% for your career. Can you catch him?
I told him I'd commit. I said, I'm only coming here if I beat the record. So, you know, I got to stay true to my word. You know, I think if anybody has a chance at it, there's two people on this team. It's me and Ty. So, you know, I think Coach would be happy to say that he coached people that, you know, broke his record. But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen.
I don't see Coach Bennett putting up as many shots on the practice court as he did early in his tenure here. You ever play horse or anything like that with him?
We've played a couple times. He didn't like the outcome, so I don't think we play anymore. No, we've only played probably twice, and I think we're even 1-1. So, I, you know, maybe he's a little intimidated by me and Ty.
Could be. All right, final question. I know you got to get back across the street. You were listed on the roster last season at 6'3". You're listed at 6'2" this year. Is that because the man bun is gone?
Great question. Very in-depth and thoroughly thought out. No. I'm 6'1 and 3/4 with no shoes on. So, you know, I think Mike Curtis was just being a little generous.
Do you catch as much grief on the road now without the man bun as you did? Because it was kind of an easy target.
Yeah, no, not quite as much. I mean, we haven't had as many road games
right
this point through the season as last year, but, you know, I'm not as easy as a target as last year, but you know, I still catch some.
Yeah, I think you'll catch some Saturday.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Well, anyway, thanks again for stopping by.
Yeah, no, anytime. Thank you.
We'll see you over there. The weekend schedule for UVA Athletics starts tonight with an important women's basketball game against North Carolina at JPJ. For information on that game and other upcoming events, check virginiasports.com. I'll be back next week with another podcast. Until then, thanks for listening.